Warning, the podcast you're about to hear is very, very filthy. We say naughty words you'll eventually use this as an adult in any way. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks this is a bad idea. Any moment within the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead, or any actual events, this is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Except where specifically noted, otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated, and no celebrities have endorsed any aspect of this show. Tonight's episode is called Technical Difficulties. No matter what you hear, just remember, we apologize in advance for any problems we may have. It's not our fault that Jimmy suck.
Oh, recorded live.
Hey everyone, welcome out to a new episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky on this Veterans Day weekend, if you're a resident of the United States, that is. If not, it's just another weekend for you. Either way, I'm Nick Nitro, your host with the most, creator of Dribble for Kids, and with me, as always, is James Daly.
Yes, sir.
A writer of the book, An Actor's Nightmare. Wonder Twin Powers Activate.
Yay!
Yay. All right, we've got
Wonder Twins.
Yes. Do you even have any idea who the Wonder Twins are?
Vaguely.
Wow. I feel so much superior than you right now, but not in a good way.
I don't know if superior is the right word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we got some good emails. We only have like two. And we got some news, of course, and we got some reviews and our picks of the week. Jimmy, you know what? I read my email first last week. Won't you go?
I think I read my email because you told me you've read it I've read it first last couple weeks.
Okay, well, fine. this week's email is from John from Essex, who asks, "What do I think of the blokes that crossed the picket line for the writer's strike?"
I think they're lame.
I feel sort of. You know, as long as they're sympathetic to the cause, like the Desperate Housewives cast, for example, like I feel for them.
Oh well, that's different. I mean, a lot of shows shut down, but I guess if you're just filming the scripts that are already done, then I'm not.
And they're there supporting the writers too. I mean,
right? I mean, if they're still, because like Eva Longoria of Desperate Housewives brought them all pizza and stuff. I'd say if they're,
but she also got crucified for that too.
Yeah, I'd say if they keep filming and they run out of the writer's scripts and they start, like, pulling out director shit, then that would piss me off. But as long as they're just filming what they already had for the writer's strike, then it's okay.
Right.
Before the writer's... Yeah.
Well, see, yeah, I agree. I agree, too. I mean, yeah, that was... Well, John, thank you for... John from Essex, thank you for that that interesting yet somewhat straightforward question. Jimmy, what's your email?
It says, "Dear Nick and Jimmy," and this is from Vanessa in Burbank, California.
God, okay.
What? Oh, you don't like that name. I'm sorry. I just pulled that name out of my ass. I read it off my email.
It's not that I don't like the name. It's just that of all the names that you could have chosen from, I have
issues. To be honest, I looked at my screen because I'm browsing a few articles, and Vanessa was the first name I saw.
Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry.
Wait, no, anyway, she writes.
Okay, Vanessa writes, she writes, "If this writer's strike continues to go on and you don't have new TV shows and news to talk about, are you going to continue to do the show in the format that it is right now?"
That's a very good question. Being the guy who sort of puts it together and then tells Jimmy, too, this is, you need to, you know, pull out the whip and keep us on task on it. I mean, we'll make some changes, obviously, if need be, because obviously...
I think we'll pretty much go the way we go. I mean, we'll find stuff to talk about.
Or if anything, it would just be
we kept
like a...
talking all summer. We kept talking all summer, even when most stuff was off. I know it'll be even harder, but I think we'll be okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll have to actually force ourselves to watch movies that we wouldn't usually normally wait, you know, watch
That's
until
true.
DVD. There we
you
go.
You know what? We'll review whatever DVDs or movies we're watching that week. We've got TV on DVD. We've got movies on DVD. Between the two of us, we've got so much shit on DVD. We'll have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, or, I mean, in worst case scenario, we just do the show. Whatever that means, it could mean anything. It could mean there would be a squirrel hosting the show. We don't know.
It could be.
I mean, that would be interesting to see a squirrel host our show. I mean, I know monkeys could do it.
It might be interesting.
Well, I mean, I know monkeys can do our show,
they
but
could.
Squirrels, but... Squirrels? No. They eat nuts.
Well, it depends. Does the squirrels have big balls?
Big hairy ones, yes.
Awesome. Then I think we could.
Yes, I agree. You know what? I'll mention the email we had last week a little bit later when we get to that portion of the show. I know it's going to kill you. I wasn't really going to read it off, but I realized I already had an email, Jimmy. So, and we already read it last week, so there's no real reason to retread over it. So, at least not in its full detail, which initially I was going to do. So, but anyway, just give you a hint. It's about a musical request we've had in the last few weeks. We're actually going to go ahead and fulfill that musical request, but we'll get into that a little bit later when the time arises. We got some news, though.
We got lots of news. First, of course, the number one news story is the strike. It shows no signs of relenting. It could go on quite a bit. And I did a little research this week. Since last week, we just kind of spouted off whatever was on our minds about the strike. When it happened in the 80s, I guess it lasted for 22 weeks and screwed up two television seasons. It could really kill a lot of these new shows that haven't had a time to develop fan bases yet. But some of the things they did is the late-night shows came back. And there is discussion to bring some of the late-night shows back. The only stipulation would be they would be completely improv'd rather than...
Mm-hmm.
Rather than scripted. And I guess Johnny Carson did that, and him and, like, Ed McMahon would, like, look at picture albums and crap to fill time. And Letterman did it back in the day. They just had a lot of different things they did, but Leno has already said that he's not funny without his writers, and he won't do it. And Jon Stewart, maybe because of all the crap that he does besides just being the host of that show, he says he won't do it. So it will be interesting to see if Conan and Letterman make an attempt to come back while some of the other shows stay shut down. I'm kind of interesting.
I would think Kimmel would do something like that, just because Kimmel's an ass.
Right.
But Conan,
I guess
I guess
Ellen DeGeneres has been back on the air, even though she was out of scripts. So
right.
I'm not exactly sure what's up with that, but...
Well, she doesn't do monologues, which I guess is what's really writer-heavy. So she actually just brings the guests on, or she tries to bring the guests on just to a normal interview. But she's been getting a lot of shit for that. You know, they're crucifying her for not, you know, crossing the picket line. And apparently writers from her old show, The Ellen Show, are, you know, she keeps coming out and saying, oh, you know, I'm for the writers, but, you know, and that's why I'm not doing the monologues in respect to them. But some of her old writers from the other show is like, you know, she says she's a, you know, she respects the writers, but she treated us like dirt on her own show, on her old show. She probably treats them like dirt on the new show. So we really don't think, that's the reason why we think she keeps doing the show. But I was
And another thing they did back in the 80s is, for instance, they took old scripts that were already written, like Mission Impossible scripts, and then just redid them. Like, they were already Mission Impossible episodes, but they already had the scripts written, so they just pulled them out and refilmed them. Which would be... I mean, I guess if they're going to do that, they better get on it quick, because if this lasts for very long and we get up to the spring and the actors and directors are up for... bid, then they could, you know, obviously they would go on strike as well, and then they wouldn't be able to do even that. But that's one idea that they had in the 80s that they didn't do very much of, and it never worked out, but they tried to pull old scripts out of the garbage.
Yeah.
Or just redo old shows. Now, see, I was wondering maybe, because I know they're doing the the new Star Trek movie, J.J. Abrams and Damon Lindelof totally busted ass to finish the script before the strike started so that they can begin shooting, and they did finish it. But with all the cast members set, I guess they could always remake the old Star Trek episodes, just pull the scripts out and remake them. But those actors would have to cross the picket line, and I don't think they will. They did, one casting note on Star Trek, they did cast Janice Rand, who you may not know who it is, but for the first
half of the first season. Alias.
Yeah, from Final Alias season. Is the actress they cast. But no, Janice Rand was the Captain G-Man, and she was on like the first 13 episodes of Star Trek, and she was more important than even Sulu and Scotty and Uhura in those episodes. But then she had a drug problem and some other things, and so they pulled the actress off the show and never replaced her. But she was one of the principal characters starting out, so I think that's kind of cool that they cast her for the movie. And I really hope they cast Nurse Chapel, because that's the only other one I haven't heard about of the major characters. She was pretty important to the initial run. I think that she's not as remembered because she was only briefly in the movies. But she was pretty important to the original run of the show.
Hmm.
So that's, and Tuesday is the Star Trek on the movie theater. I don't know if you're still planning on going, but I would like to go and see it.
Oh God, yeah. I think I'm going to pass on that.
I figured you would.
Well, it's, you know, well, no, it's just really more a matter of, I mean, at that point, the time I get off, it'll be like, what, 8:30? It starts at 9.
I think it's at 9? I thought it was like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
7:30, well, see, then I'd be really fucking late.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
That's why I didn't think you would go, but I remember saying something a couple weeks ago, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll go.
Well, no, in theory, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I want to go, but then again, at the same time, I can, so... I mean, I thought, too, at the time, I have this problem where I forget about some commitments I make. Very Nathan-esque of me, I would guess you would say.
Yes.
You know. Oh, hey, Nick, we're going to do a podcast today. Oh, yeah, we're going to do it. I'll call you in, like, 5 minutes. 20 minutes later. Has Nathan called yet? No. That's not fair. Nathan's actually, every time lately we've asked him to do a show, he's been pretty on the game. So I'm not going to give him crap about that, but... yeah, I guess I've been like that lately with a few other things. So I even have a sticky note I remember at my desk that says, ask about getting off early for Star Trek. But a lot of help it really does me now. So.
Yep.
But I mean, it does sound cool though.
Yeah. Well, back on the strike, the picket line has been pretty active this week. Of course, The Office shut down immediately, and those actors, and Back to You, and Big Bang, and Everybody Hates Chris, and
24.
Rules of Engagement, Law and Order, 30 Rock, those shows all shut down already. Joss Whedon said he was on the picket line with Allison Hannigan of How I Met Your Mother, and David Boreanaz of Bones, who were both on his old shows. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on the picket line. Ron Moore, who the old Star Trek, one of the major Star Trek runners who now heads Battlestar Galactica, was on the picket line with their writing staff. The entire writing staff of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles show that's coming, was on the picket line. David
Connor.
Spade. Rules of Engagement shut down. CSI showrunner was on the picket line. I'm scrolling through all the list of all the people. The entire staff of Samantha Who was on the picket line. Desperate Housewives showrunner Mark Cherry, he's letting them finish the last few Housewives episodes that are written without him because he's on the picket line. Just all kinds of people. Now, about the shows that are left to air, The Office only has 3 episodes left that they filmed. Being one of the first shows to shut down, it kind of got the gist. Most of the shows have 5 or 6 episodes. 24 has scrapped their entire season because the format of the show is you have to show a whole day. And with the strike, they won't be able to show the whole day. So there will be no 24 at all this year. They're just saving day 7 for the fall 2009 instead of 2008.
Well, hey, and look at it this Lost... way, too. You know, he gets to do his jail sentence, and it's not going to interfere with the...
That's true. I wonder if they'll let him do it all at once now and take the reduced days instead of splitting it like he had agreed to.
That would suck if they still make him split it.
I know. It would kind of suck. But Lost, they said that they completed an 8-episode arc that ends very neatly with a cliffhanger, but it's like a complete 8-episode season. So those 8 episodes, they don't know when they're going to air them. They haven't set any dates, and they could air them anytime in the spring. But they are going to do the 8-episode arc. And The Simpsons, for some strange reason, has 17 written, unaired episodes as of last week. I don't know if they count the one tonight or not. But 17. So they're going to be able to do their entire season. It's going to be the only show that gets to do their entire season.
Yeah, but it does make me wonder, though, because Conan O'Brien once said the writing process on The Simpsons is very hackneyed. More so than other TV shows, because you can change stuff while you're filming live, like The Office, right, or 30 Rock. These shows can change scripts as they go along. The Simpsons, what they do is they look at a script and they write it, and being it's animation, they work on it for like maybe up to like 3 years on a script. It could be completed,
right,
and they keep trying to punch it up, so to speak. And the thing is when you keep trying punching it up after all these rewrites, the script isn't as funny as it is anymore. So it makes me wonder if some of these scripts are leftover scripts from previous seasons, or are these freshly written scripts? Because Conan O'Brien said...
I was thinking there were a lot of leftovers, because I had heard those rumors that there were piles of Simpsons episodes that they never made and weren't sure would ever get made because they weren't ready. I'm going to say it's probably a lot of leftover scripts.
Well, Conan also says that some of the first drafts, like the first few drafts of each scripts that are never made, are the ones that, even the ones who are made, they're actually better in their fresh form. So maybe this is what The Simpsons need to get revitalized a bit.
You never know.
And not just
you
because
never know.
Of movie.
I don't know what they're going to do. Yep. So if you thought you could escape all this strike nonsense by heading to your Broadway theater in New York... Think again. Broadway shut down today. The stagehands are on strike. There are still a few shows open because they have separate contracts, but most of Broadway shut down today because of the stagehand strike.
Mm-hmm.
And from the newspaper article, there's no sign of that ending anytime soon either. So movies, TV, and Broadway are all shut down.
Yeah, and speaking of Broadway and movies sort of combined, if you've not heard the news, Tim Burton's doing a movie version of the musical Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, and with Johnny
Depp. Right, starring Johnny Depp.
Right, as Sweeney Todd. Well, the trailer is out. I don't have the URL on me off the top of my head, but I did check it out, and it does look very good. And I'm not really a big fan of the original musical.
I want to see it.
But I do want to see it, yeah. And they also have Tom Cruise's Valkyrie trailer out, which it does look surprisingly interesting. A little bit, it looks a little bit different than what I think I initially thought of it to be, but it looks really mm-hmm. good. Granted, that has nothing to do with Broadway, but being that it's a trailer,
right.
Just going to throw them
I just I did not know this. I just got across this. Did you know they were making Lost mini episodes starring the series regulars?
Yeah, it starts this week.
And they begin Monday, yeah, on the website. I did not know that there were a series of 3-minute episodes, so we will get those, even though the series right now is postponed indefinitely until they figure out when they want to air those 8 episodes.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Oh, I don't know that. Speaking of Lost, something else, too. Greg Grunberg has confirmed that he will return to Lost shortly this season.
As a guest star? As the pilot?
To what extent? I have no idea. I would assume.
Well, he could meet some of the prequel stuff. He didn't meet Libby till the airport, though, so he won't be in that stuff. But I'd say it's probably the flashbacks, the pilot. Yeah, that's what he played, and he's still got Heroes to worry about too. I mean, obviously, they're kind of shedding. Heroes only has 4 episodes left instead of the 5 or 6 that most shows have. But I also read an interview with the head of the writer, the main guy of Heroes, and he's. Yeah, and he said he was very dissatisfied with the season, and he thinks the writer's strike may be a blessing to Heroes because he can wrap it up all neatly and end Volume 2 in 4 weeks and then start fresh with Volume 3.
I sort of agree.
He said Heroes spent too much time in Japan.
Yep.
He said he felt this season they took too long to get to the big picture, which was the apocalypse in the future.
Yep. It
was revealed way too late. He said the love stories just suck and the show shouldn't be about love stories. And he also said, what else? Oh, he said he didn't like the way he introduced most of the new characters. He liked Kristen Bell's introduction because it was tied into other major characters.
Yeah.
But the way he threw Maya and her brother in was really stupid, and he doesn't plan on doing that again. He wants to tie everything together.
Actually, I thought the only character that was introduced well, I mean, to the point where I was semi-interested, but it's just, of course, the pacing, like in the first season, was sort of slow at the beginning, was the girl from New Orleans.
She was okay.
She was boring at first, but like at the end of the episode when you realize
she got more interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's actually the first one that dons the superhero cape.
I liked the way Kristen Bell entered, though. I was disappointed she's only been in one episode so far because they did cast her as a series regular whenever they do pick back up. But her and Kenzie, I loved the way they revealed Kenzie because I was with my friends Lisa and Joe while we were watching it, and we were all big fans of Alias. And the guy who plays Kenzie was the biggest reoccurring character in Alias. We always loved when he showed up. He always shook things up and made it interesting. And they already knew that he was coming, but I didn't. And when he pulled off that mask for the first time, I totally freaked out. Like, no way! It's him! It's David Anders! Oh my god, it's Sark from Alias! So I like that. And I saw him coming as Adam Monroe from a mile away, but it's still really cool that he gets to stay in the series. Now, I would argue that Heroes Japan Line was too short, personally. I felt it progressed too rapidly. I would have liked to have seen it more drawn out, like maybe even a whole season, and he's already back. So I disagree with his assessment that Hero's storyline went on too long, but I do agree, like, the Claire relationship was really dumb, so he's going to get rid of that.
My thing was, I didn't think it was dumb, I just think it was handled well.
It was terrible.
It wasn't terrible, it was just too drawn out.
It was terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
I thought it was terrible.
This is coming from the guy who thought, okay, I thought that it was that part was fine. I just didn't like the hero was in Japan for too long, and then there was this whole Nikki dropping her kid off. That was what was terrible.
I don't really like the Nikki storyline right now.
Well, I've
either,
never
but,
liked the Nikki storyline until DL shows up, and
yeah,
they fucking took that away.
DL. At least he got to guest star last week, even if it was
he
a
gets
sucky
to
guest
star this
part.
Next week too. But and by the way, the bullet that hit him at the end of the finale is not the thing that kills him. It's actually another hero. Yeah. Yes, another hero. Really? The normal good guys actually kill him.
Oh yeah, we are going to see the unanswered questions this week, which I'm excited about. Yeah, I mean, it's good stuff there. I really enjoy Heroes, and I'm kind of glad that he feels that he's identified weaknesses in Volume 2, and he's going to end Volume 2 and start fresh with Volume 3 next season.
Well, that's if the writer's strike continues. If it doesn't, then he'll
make drastic
changes with the rest of Season 2.
Well, I really think that the writer's strike's going to go on long enough that this will air as the finale of Volume 2. Should it end in January or February and they get him to rush a few more episodes out in the spring, I don't think that it'll be part of Volume 2. I think it would either be the start of Volume 3 or some kind of intermezzo thing, but I think it's going to end. I think December will be the end of Volume 2. I really do. I think the strike's going to go on for a while. I predict it will go on until at least the end of the calendar year. Probably
end
longer.
End of the calendar year.
That's my prediction. I'm gonna say March, April. What's your prediction?
My prediction is, yeah, I have no prediction because I'm telepathetic.
Just make a guess.
Take a guess.
Make a
the Nick
make a
Nitro
wild
does
guess.
Not guess. The Nick Nitro knows
Come on,
all.
Make a guess.
Sees all.
Make a guess.
Take a guess.
Okay.
If Nitro
then,
takes
then
a guess,
us.
That could be wrong, which Nitro wouldn't do because that's not what Nitro is. Nitro would
okay,
guess.
If Nitro was
August
all knowing,
of next year, that's what I. That's what.
You think August?
That's what Nitro guesses. Nitro knows,
okay,
but Nitro ain't gonna say because that would ruin the balance of nature. I can't
true.
Do that. It's like Hero. I'm not gonna kiss that princess. See, you know, Hero fucked up. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to not kiss the princess, and then weep later in the present.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Hero's still weeping in the present anyway. But anyway, yeah.
He did. The ratings we were talking about last week. The ratings that
yes,
I
bring it
I
up
look at.
And just rub it in my face, even though I admitted I was fucking wrong. You know
I
what?
I didn't say.
I know. No.
I just wanted to mention
you
the top
said,
five
yeah.
for this.
Go ahead.
Something happened. Okay. I wasn't going to bring up that. I just the ratings we were talking about last week, and I found this out, is the ratings that I look at there in the Columbus Dispatch are over the last 10 days. They are 10-day ratings. What was the highest rated show over a 10-day period? For this most recent ratings, Grey's Anatomy moved up to number 2. Housewives was out of the top 5. Grey's Anatomy went up to number 2. Guess what? CSI was number 4. Take that. Grey's Anatomy's kicking CSI's ass again. Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Dancing with the Stars was number 1. The Dancing Results Show was number 5. And some 60 Minutes was number 3. But Grey's Anatomy was number 2, which got me excited because I'm like, they should be beating CSI. They're back to being good. So thank goodness Grey's Anatomy has regained its top tier, at least for the week. I don't know how long it'll last, but they did it for this period. And the last news story I have is High School Musical 3. It was speculated that Vanessa Hudgens was not cast for High School Musical 3 because she took off her shirt.
No. What happened was
a lot of
it was speculated, but it's not. It wasn't.
It was speculated, right? But they did sign her this week for High School Musical 3, and what it ended up being is they weren't offering her enough money. That's why she had not been signed for High School Musical 3. And nothing to do with her boobies. Well, at least it's the official line. So she is signed for High School Musical 3. Surprisingly, Zac Efron is not yet signed. And I thought he was a given.
Okay,
he's the only major cast member not signed because he's trying to get more.
Okay, Jimmy, I have an inside scoop, okay? On this.
Awesome.
I'm telling you right now, Zac Efron is the money issue. Zac Efron, really for real, is money. The Vanessa Hudgens thing started off being money at first, but then that first picture showed up, and that caused some problems. So at this point, the rumors started circulating she might have kicked off High School Musical 3. She then reduced her price a little bit, and Disney was going to accept it. But then a second set of pictures began rumoring to be going about with her old boyfriend from when she was in Nickelodeon, and if that was the case, she wasn't going to get picked up. So Disney put her on the back burner for a bit while they researched that to make sure that wasn't true and that they contained it before it came out again. And apparently, the deal is that there might be a High School Musical 4 and 5. Vanessa Hudgens, they would like her to come back for those as well. But here's the thing. If anything else bad comes out after High School 3, they have an option to drop her and they owe her nothing.
Nice. Now, they did sign her for considerable...
Well, yeah, I understand.
She is getting considerably more money for the third one than she got for the
first two. That's what I was saying. But initially, it wasn't all money.
You know? Oh, Mr. All-Knowing of the Inside Scoop, do you know if they finished the script for High School Musical 3 yet?
Now, that part, that's not a concern of mine.
Because it was supposed to hit theaters next summer, because they're rushing these things out.
It's not about Halloween or something. But if
the script was going to be... If it was going to hit theaters next summer, I'm assuming the script might be done, because if it's not, then there's no way it's hitting theaters next summer. It'll just be...
I should ask. I mean, it's a good question.
I'm curious.
I don't like the High School Musical stuff, really. I mean, the only reason why I mentioned the Vanessa Hudgens thing is because it's news. Sadly, it will probably be in the theaters sometime in the next few years, and I will sadly have to review it and cry.
I will
weeping.
See it with pleasure.
That's because you're
see
gay.
It with pleasure.
That's why.
I'm not gay.
You love the cock.
You're gay.
Anyway.
You love the cock.
I do not.
I don't either.
Well, you're a liar. You're a liar times infinity.
I am not.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
And by the time... Okay. Never mind. Okay, that's all the news I have. What about you?
You actually stole all my news. I had news running up.
You
stole my news!
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Did
that come over the head?
What? The cat?
Wait. No. Wait. I'll go back to it, because I clicked on something online and I could hear it on my headphones, but I didn't know if you could hear it through the feed. I'm back to it. Wait a second. Here you go. It's connecting. You hear that?
No. I do not.
Oh, I'm listening to a Kohl's commercial. It was a Ziploc commercial. It was really funny.
Okay.
I just texted it out.
Well,
okay,
actually, the only news that I had that you've not stolen from me, which I can reveal to the world and
it's news that I don't care about.
It's actually, it probably is.
News that I don't care about.
Well, I mean, it is news, so, I mean, we have to.
This segment is news that you don't care about, so it's okay.
Yes. Not you as in you, Jimmy. I'm talking about news that you.
The royal you.
The royal you, as in the listener. You know, the Bob, Billy, Manny, Sue, the Jew, whoever. They're all out there, and they're listening.
Did you just make a racist term?
I didn't mean to. It was a rhyming word.
Nick is a racist. You've heard it here now, folks.
Well,
Nick is a racist.
I am not.
He referred to Jewish people of Jewish descent as Jews.
Are they not?
You porch monkey. You do not understand.
Yes. Okay, now look who's calling
our
who racist
heritage.
Here.
I'm
At least I'm not calling you...
Back. I'm taking it back.
Taking it back. Of course you are.
Clerks too.
Yes, I understand that.
I know, but our listeners don't understand that. So that's
Clerks 2 on sale now, $14.95 at your local Walmart store.
Or cheaper. Or don't go to Walmart. Go to a store.
Go to Walmart. Piss Jimmy off.
Don't go to Walmart.
It takes
a little bit
of his soul every time you go to Walmart.
I should give Walmart. I would give Walmart the third spot in my Axis of Evil, but that would be paying attention to it, and I don't want to, so it doesn't get the spot. Still just you and Amazon.com. Well, the third spot's still open. I'm anxious to pick a third spot, but I'm hesitant to because then I have to stop. If I pick a third spot, then that's it. It's locked in.
It's locked in.
So I'm carefully considering. And you know what? I think I should announce that by next week I will pick a third member of my Axis of Evil. I will give it careful consideration this week, and next week I will announce who the third spot of my Axis of Evil will be.
All right, so can I get to my news since you've diluted away from ruined the rest of my news segments? Can I have one? I'll have one.
No.
Okay. Michael Bay, due to the writer's strike, he's the one who directed Transformers and all that other stuff.
Transformers.
Yes, more than meets the eye. Anyway, they were working on a script for Prince of Persia based on the video game that's recently had a resurgence in the last few years. Actually, the Prince of Persia Sands of Time was really good. Anyway, they were working on the script for that, but of course, with the writer's strike, no go. So Transformers 2 is now, which apparently, God forbid, had a script rushed to completion. He's now moving from Prince of Persia to Transformers 2. Because apparently that was...
There was an article about Transformers 2. What did I read about that? It was something about the strike. They said something about if the script wasn't done...
What about the script not...
It would have to be a pointless blah with no plot and thing, and hinging on the special effects. And then they said, well, it worked for the first one, didn't it? Ha, ha, ha.
I was just about ready to say, I was like, that was what Never mind. Entire first movie was. That's a bad joke, Jimmy. You should be banned to your own axis.
I didn't make it up.
You should be considered a part of your own axis of
I'm
evil.
Not going to be my own axis.
Yes, I think that would.
No, I am
evil
not.
Jimmy.
You are a member, not me. You just don't want me to be left out. I'm not evil.
I don't
you're
want,
evil.
What do you mean? I don't want
Hitler.
You to be left out. What? Yes, Jimmy. I don't want you left out and being called evil. That's totally my point of view in that.
Well, I already grew the goatee.
And you already have the little red horns sticking out.
I do. They're holding up my halo, though.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to play a song here. We had a request last week from Anita Bath, a.k.a. Wendy Webb. Who asked for a song called Rough Gem by The Islands, and we're going to play that, and we'll be right back here on the Good, the Bad, and the Geeky right after this. Hey everyone, Nick Nitro here. If you didn't know, I'm one of the producers of the Mr. Know-It-All segment. For the record, JT and Scott, the GeekCast, which you can find over at the URL www.thegeekcast.com or www.thegeekcast.com. have graciously allowed us to host the Mr. Know-It-All bits here on The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky with myself and my co-host, Jimmy. For those who are not aware, Mr. Know-It-All is a part of the show. We'll try to do once a week. Management is permitting. The Mr. Know-It-All segments is where you guys ask the questions, and Mr. Know-It-All comes in, pre-records his answers, and then we edit together and air your questions for you live here on The Good, The Bad. Now please know he still has around 13 questions or so to wrap up that was sent to him on the GeekCast side before we start opening up the questions so just stay tuned for that. And also to note, being that these were pre-recorded about 2 weeks ago by Mr. Know-It-All and myself and prepared for the GeekCast last week editing-wise, both episodes still proclaim the GeekCast as home of Mr. Know-It-All. So don't forget to check out our friends at The GeekCast and Night Geek Studios at www.thegeekcast.com and nightgeek.com. Thank you, JT and Scott, for allowing us to post those over here. And enjoy. Take it, Mr. Know-It-All.
Coming from you straight into the GeekCast Studios live feed, live from Frostbite Falls, it's the moose who he himself would roar, the one, the only, the irreplaceable, and he's here to answer your questions. It's Mr. Know-It-All.
Hello, GeekCaster. This week's question is from John, who asks, Dear Mr. Know-It-All, I have a question and I would like to know, who in school kies me? I really hope it is the girl I like. And if more than one, can you please tell me all their names? Thank you very much and hope you get back to me. Thanks to Mr. Peabody for using his Wayback Machine under the agreement that I babysat his pet boy Sherman. We flung ourselves into the future, but danger, he's itself in here, what I'm about to say. Sherman, put that down! Get off there!
Are you Mr. Peabody?
Sherman, no, I'm Mr. Know-It-All. As I was saying, using the Wayback Machine, flinging ourselves into the far distant future of 3 weeks, I soon realized who in your school wants to kind you. And let me say, at first I wasn't sure why you want to know such a horrible thing. But after witnessing events from the future, okay, I'll stop that now. I now know that I cannot under any means answer this question. Like the great Hiro Nakamura from NBC's Heroes, Monday night at 9, right on NBC, I cannot mess up the timeline and must make it right by saying nothing. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned next week while I tackle Ben's serious problem right here on the GigCast.
Are you Mr. Peabody?
The Bad and the Geeky. That was The Islands with Rough Jim. Thank you, Anita Beth, aka Wendy Webb. We know who you are.
A host of the show sometimes.
Yes, so we thank you for your email. All right, so we got some reviews, and of course we got our show, old show and new show pick of the week. But Jimmy, what shows do you have up there, sir?
I wanted to mention a Family Guy did their 100th episode this mm-hmm. past week. It was called Stewie Kills Lois, which will be followed by part two tonight, which has already aired, but we can't watch it because we're talking, called Lois Kills Stewie, in which Stewie actually grows a pair and kills Lois, and or so we think. And a year later, Peter is framed for Lois's murder, and he's in court, and then Stewie's going on a rampage killing people and stuff, and it ended with a Star Trek Next Generation to be continued little message. Like, it ended with the logo
font.
And everything. And
the
font and the music and stuff was Next Generation. So then next week, or tonight, I guess, Stewie's on a rampage killing people, and Lois is going to stop him. It was very Kill Bill at the end.
I
enjoyed it. I didn't think it was the best episode they've ever made, but
it was sort of to see Stewie actually do it after all these years to kill Lois.
It's true. I mean, when he went crazy and filled her with lead, I thought that was pretty cool. But I was hoping that when they jumped to the 1 year later, that they were just going to stay the 1 year later, and from now on the show would like actually have moved a bit. Instead of all taking place presumably within the same year, because Stewie's still 1 year old. But a year later, Stewie was still 1 year old. And I don't know. I was kind of hoping they'd like make a jump and do something different. But they're going to be Simpson-esque, where a year can go by and it doesn't matter, because next week everybody's still the same age as they were before the year went by.
One of the reasons why I choose Futurama over The Simpsons, because all the characters actually age.
They do.
So
they do.
So... But, I mean, that's just me complaining.
Yeah. And then NBC did their Green Week last week, which I think it can be summed up by a quote from My Name is Earl. When they tried to – they were doing a prison sketch show, and they told Earl that they would have to put a green theme into it. And he said, green has nothing to do with the rest of the show. It'll feel wedged in. Guess what it felt like watching the NBC shows trying to add green into their show?
Actually, my –
the smart ones just did PSAs.
Sort of. There's one show I think that pulled it off well.
I agree with you.
And
go
it's
ahead.
My old show pick of the week, but we'll get to that later.
I agree with you that one show actually did do it well.
Is it on the Thursday night block?
It is on the Thursday night block, and I know what you're going to say because you already told me what your old show pick of the week was going to be, and I agree with you.
Okay,
so we could save it. We could save it for our pick of the weeks.
Yes.
But there was only one show out of all the NBC shows all week that did it well.
Yeah, and like there's like some of the other like the dramas. I mean, God love the dramas. They did not try to force the green stuff in that I saw, like Journeyman and Law and Order SVU.
Well, like Heroes just did the PSA. Heroes just did the PSA. Slightly changed their theme where the title comes across so it looked green.
Oh, that, I mean, that part looked cool, but I mean, if they did
that
it...
That did, but I was kind of disappointed that they did it. I really was.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, what the hell?
The
is
DVD
this a Shamrock
out.
Shake now of the heroes? Or is the little leprechaun going to come out and go, ooh, I have a special power! It's my lucky charms!
But... And this was the 1 week they weren't in Ireland for the show.
I know! Ironic, isn't it?
But when the DVD comes out in 20 years when our kids are watching the DVD, they'll get to that episode and they'll be like, why the hell was it green? I don't get it. It had nothing to do with the rest of the episode.
Oh, and then Wilson is like, well, back when the environment mattered.
Back before we destroyed our planet and we had to live in these bubbles,
bubbles.
To keep global warming from killing us.
Wait, do you hear a whale?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, because they're extinct, and we have to take the Enterprise back to the 80s to get them.
Yes. It's a
nuclear vessel. But I do want to give a big booyah to The Office, because at the end of The Office, Michael wore a fucking Battlestar Galactica sweatshirt. Did you see that shit?
I watched it, but
it was
I didn't
a black
notice
sweatshirt
that.
With the Battlestar Galactica logo. He was wearing a fucking Battlestar Galactica.
Wow, of all the things to pay attention to, like the very touching moment between Jim and Michael, I'm not paying attention to
it. Yeah, I couldn't help
shirt.
It. I couldn't help it, because as much as we bring about Battlestar Galactica and you don't like it, and you love The Office, I was going to be like, oh yeah, but then again, Michael is always the character.
Okay, not to break it to you, that's not the first time they've mentioned that, Jimmy. They actually mentioned it in season 2 and equally in season 3.
I know.
Season 2, they mentioned it 3 times, all in a 4-episode span I lost, and it's all, guess who it was. It wasn't Michael. It was Dwight.
I know.
So
but
how can you?
Anytime I have a chance, I know it wasn't completely logically thought out, but I still wanted to go booyah.
Okay, and that serves its purpose wonderfully, Jimmy. You did an amazing job. Congratulations, you have failed again.
Don't say I failed.
You failed. Okay.
Your mom failed.
Okay,
there's
my mom did not fail. She is right here.
That's what she said.
That is not what she said. Why do you say that? I don't know.
I was using lame comebacks.
It's a lame comeback. Actually,
yes, the comebacks don't make sense.
Can I state too that Steve Carell should just be in charge of writing Michael Scott dialogue, maybe 60% of the time? No, because here's the thing: every time he writes an episode for The Office, Michael comes off like an idiot, but nothing's really super cringeworthy. Like,
right.
He comes off more like a guy who's really trying to do good. Like, at the end, like, that was really touching. Like, it's sort of shocking, too, because Jim realizes he might be Michael in 10 years. But, I mean, it's a very nice moment. Like, he doesn't come off like a complete idiot. Okay, did you just hit mute?
I killed it.
You killed it. What did you do? I heard a fuzzing sound. Jimmy?
Hang on, I lost you again.
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. I lost you for a few minutes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Especially the part where it went.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay.
I lost you again. What the fuck?
I'm not talking. I'm talking now, Jimmy.
I apologize for the technical difficulties. I couldn't hear you. It was.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, do you remember a child actor
remember?
From the 80s named Fred Savage?
Oh, jeez. No, I don't remember. The Wonder Years.
Fred Savage.
Yes, The Wonder Years.
What? Yeah, I was going to do the thing. Yes, yes. He, I was doing kind of the show I was catching up with this week was It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he directed 5 episodes recently, and I'm like, what the hell? And then they had an article about him where they're interviewing him that I read somewhere recently that he just directed Aliens in America, which is a great show too. And I'm like, he's like over there directing, and I guess he also directed the episode of Cavemen. So he's out there. He's working. He's directing.
He's out there. He's working the good fight. Yeah. Yeah, go Steve.
He directed Phil of the Future.
Okay, you're breaking up.
He directed Phil of the Future, Hannah Montana.
Oh, God.
I know. I lost it, too.
Oh, God.
Directed a bunch of Even Stevens and Zoe 101. That's so Raven. He's been directing for
Disney. Okay.
Disney Channel.
Well, that's cool that he did Even Stevens, but the other shows are unforgettable.
Episode of Kitchen Confidential. But now he's directing good sitcoms.
You know what? Do not knock Even Stevens.
But It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is awesome.
Jimmy, is your cable going over the cord?
But don't knock It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. No, I've been holding it, but I don't know what's going on.
Because you're breaking in and out. I can hear you.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I know.
I think you broke it, Jimmy.
I can hear you too, but it was breaking in and out.
You broke it, and now we'll never fix it.
It's on my lap now.
You broke it, and we'll never fix it. And I feel very sad.
I'm trying to hold perfectly still when it's in focus so I can keep it, and I apologize to our listeners for the technical difficulties.
I would like to you in for that's what it sounds like. Jimmy?
What the fuck? Are you doing that now?
What? Am I doing what? I'm not doing anything.
Why is it all staticky?
Jimmy's soul is getting sucked into the depths. Oh, Jimmy's gone. Wait a minute. Let's see if we can try to get Jimmy back. Because Jimmy has just been off the hizzy with his phone issue. The joys of doing a podcast. Hello, Jimmy. How are you? I hear... I think you broke...
Yeah, I was trying to hold perfectly still. Okay.
I think you broke your cable.
My cord?
Yes.
Earlier when I rolled over it? But then it worked fine for a while.
For a while? Well, okay, you're on your laptop, right? Are you moving about? Are you trying to access the internet?
No.
Okay.
No. Now I hear... I'm not on my laptop, and now I'm not moving about. I'm trying to hold as perfectly still as I can so that I don't mess it up.
Good. Don't be a failure. Do not fail. It's imperative. Today's word.
We just have a little bit of show left to do.
I know. So you want to just rush through this real quick? Not really, but I mean, do you want to rush through it, so to speak? Not really,
yes.
Rushing. Okay. Okay, what's your which?
Yes.
You know what? You give your picks of the week. And you know what? Please note, I'm not going to knock your picks of the week, unlike somebody who likes to knock my picks of the week. So go right ahead, Jimmy.
I might knock yours.
What?
I might.
Well, fine.
Might
fine. You know what? The guard is up. Fuck you. I'll knock your picks. Because you know what? Your shows are horrible sometimes, depending if I watch the show. Yeah, that's what you said last week. But you have to defend the honor of whatever stupid show
watch
and the dispatch
or...
I
know you think so.
Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Well, my new show of the week, I know you're not going to argue with because it's been your pick several times, and I kept telling you it's a good show but not good enough to be a pick of the week. But I think Chuck was my new show pick of the week.
I will almost go with
that.
I
thought it was really cool to see the flashbacks and find out more about him.
And he's gone.
And it left me wondering, is Bryce really dead?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think he is.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah? Yeah, but you're like, sorry.
You think he is?
Yeah, I think he's dead.
I mean, we didn't see his body. We saw him get shot, but... I don't know. They've kept him around enough to do the flashbacks and stuff. I think he may not be. I think there's more to it than we know.
You know what? I mean, it was okay.
I liked it because it became somewhat serial. I liked it because it started to lend itself to maybe it'll be a serial show, which is what I like.
I always thought it was a serial show. I guess I didn't understand how you could not see it as a serial show.
I didn't think so. It didn't. I did it because it seemed like it was the same, just a new case every week. It wasn't really going anywhere. It wasn't growing and deepening. I want the growing and deepening and the better understanding and the plots that aren't all tied up at the end of the episode.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's only so many times, though, where you can advance a story in a 22-episode situation.
Not necessarily.
In a show like that.
Look at a show like Buffy. They had big bads. They had the demon in the fight for an episode. But
yeah, but the big bad didn't always make itself known in every freaking episode in the very beginning.
Well, and the beginning was less serial than as the show got on, and everything was intertwined, and they had episode arcs that took place over the whole season. That's the stuff I like. I like the stuff that takes forever to play out.
Well, I do too, and I thought Chuck was doing that just fine.
I didn't. I thought Chuck was like, okay, every week we're just going to stop some other bad guy.
Well, you're wrong, but that's okay.
You're wrong.
No,
I thought, but
you're wrong
this,
times infinity
but this
times
week,
infinity. So I win.
Plus one.
No.
You're wrong.
Infinity
all that
times
plus one. Oh, I just beat you.
No, you didn't. You can't beat infinity times infinity. Infinity times
plus
infinity.
One.
It doesn't. Dude, you can't do infinity times infinity plus one. It doesn't work like that.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can because now when you times infinity, I'm still one more than you.
No, Jimmy, you can't be more than me because infinity times infinity is forever. I beat you.
Plus one.
Plus one does
plus
not
one,
work. Plus one does not work. Plus one
it
is
does.
Not. No, it does not. I'm sure it does in Jimmy World. Okay?
It does.
In Jimmy World, where math
world
2 plus 5 equals 33 in Jimmy World. I'm sure the
it
same mechanics
not.
Apply. Well, in Jimmy World, apparently
not.
It does. Because it's
no,
Jimmy
it
World.
Equals 42. It equals 42.
It does. Jimmy, 42 is not the answer for everything unless, well,
yes,
it is. But that's okay.
It's the ultimate answer for everything.
But the ultimate answer is not the answer to what we are talking
what's
about.
What's your new show pick of the week?
I picked Journeyman. Only reason
And you've been watching that. I have not. I've been TiVoing it, but I've only seen the pilot.
Well, like, you know how I've been saying about Reaper lately, where it's just been sort of stuck in a groove? Where it's been... Oh, it's actually what your complaint was last week, where shows in the... they're getting really repetitive. I thought Journeyman was sort of doing that too, which is every week, him and his wife has a problem. And, of course, the whole him going into the past makes it worse. And there's the brother... who acts like he's concerned for the brother, but is really concerned for the wife of the lead character because he used to be engaged to her. And it's like every week, same thing, kind of like in Reaper, every week it's like a case-by-case basis. Nothing's really new going on. And
I think Reaper is starting to deepen.
No, right. And that's why I think I picked that last week.
I don't know. I know I've picked it at least once
or
twice.
At least I mentioned it's getting a lot better. I think last week it was, though, because I wasn't going to watch the show anymore. I was just going to watch one more episode, call it a day, and then it got me interested again. Journeyman was the same way, where, you know, felt like it was stalling, but now there's an ongoing storyline going on. Like, there are some people he goes back and recognize the people he has to help recognize that he's from the future.
I heard he went to a key party.
He went to a what?
I heard he went to a key party. Or is that this coming week? That might be this coming week. He's going to a key party.
A key party. Well, I don't know what a key party is. But
it was that thing before the big push for safe sex where you would go to a party and everybody put their keys in the bowl and who's ever a key you drew out you had to sleep with.
Oh, yeah, that's really
good. It was a swingers party.
That's really good swingers for their marriage, party. Yeah.
But, no, he's going to go back in time and go to one because they don't do those anymore.
Oh, gotcha.
And there's like some, I can't remember who it is now, but some actor I really like is going to guest star and, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it because the FBI is involved now with looking for what's going on. There's also a scientist from NASA who, and you learn other little facts about his father. Like, his father also magically disappeared one day and was never heard from again. So we're starting to see a theme that maybe his father also did the same thing he did. So we might meet his father. I don't know. It's very intriguing. Like, they're opening more doors. So that's why I picked it. And it wasn't stalling anymore, so... Rejuvenated interest and
excellent. You do your old show first.
Okay, my old show. This is what we were talking about earlier in terms of Green Week on NBC, and that is 30 Rock. Right. I thought I love the show. I love Tina Fey. I love everybody in the show. But I think, and after buying season one and watching the brilliance of the entire first season, even the bad episodes from season one, season two so far has felt a lot worse than that.
Really?
On the whole, as an entire episode per episode based, like, there have been funny moments. Like, the ideas are funny, but just the way they're orchestrated out, like, it's right. Funny in thought, but not the way it was actually done. And the only saving grace so far has made me want to keep watching, of course, has been, of course, the great Alec Baldwin. But this week episode, though, reminded me how brilliant that show is. Because they took an idea that was forced on them, very blatantly so, and they took it, they ran with it, and they raped it until they created
my
comedy
only complaint
gold.
Was it was really funny. My only complaint was I don't really like David Schwimmer all that much. He was okay. It took me forever to get used to him on Friends as it was, and seeing him in anything else, I don't know. I don't like him.
Oh, see, I don't like David Schwimmer, but I thought he always plays a really good asshole.
He did it decent. I mean, I don't know who else they could have got to play that part. Maybe I just didn't like that character. But I liked the episode overall. It was good.
Oh, yeah. And the Al Gore cameo was really good. The best part, though, was the party. Like, once... and they...
I hear a whale. The Al Gore lampooning himself. I hear a whale. I must go. A whale's in trouble.
But
that was awesome.
That was awesome. But, I mean, I love the fact that they didn't really show the party as it happened. They just cut to the next day.
That was better.
And everybody looks horrible, and they just do really weird intermissions. It's like Kenneth would like to say a few words. Mr. Jordan, I'm very, very not pleased with you. you stole my sink. You're just like, what?
That was great, but the best part of that whole speech was when he said, "Hey, Mr. Harlem Globetrotter." That was the best part. And to be honest, I was disappointed when they first started that scene that we didn't see the party. And then as it went on and on, I'm like, this is way better than if we'd
seen the party.
Because what you're imagining is worse. Yes.
Especially if they only give you little morsels of what's going on.
Right.
And
that was one of those instances where it was better to not to see
it. And Alec Baldwin's little gesture, he's like, "Sir, you need to go downstairs for an interview." He just puts his hand up behind his head, not touching his hair, which is like Beethoven-like. And he's just like, "I'm going to need a minute to get ready."
That part was hilarious.
And of course, Alec Baldwin earlier, he's like, "You know what, Kenneth? I'm going to take an invitation for your party. Do you know why? I have no idea what's happening." It was like
that. I was joking earlier when I told you I didn't want to go.
And also, originally,
I was
when
like,
he,
how could you be joking? I don't get.
And
it.
Also, earlier when he initially said, "You know, I'm gonna be straight with you, Kev. Be straight with you, because you know, I don't want to be mean to you, and I respect you a lot. I'm gonna go home, listen to some whatever classical music, and I want to masturbate to Canadian porn." You're just like,
that was awesome.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
Alec Baldwin was awesome. Yes.
Oh, Alec Baldwin.
My old show.
Yes, your old show pick of the week. What was it, sir?
Prison Break.
Prison Break.
Now, that comes with stipulation. They did a 2-hour episode this week, and it had been advertised as the one that they're going to break out of the new prison that they're in. And it's gotten really interesting because we know he was put into that prison on purpose to break somebody out for the company, the mysterious company behind everything. And this week, it reminded me of in season one when they did their November finale before they were off the air for 3 months till March, when they were in the middle of their escape and something went wrong and they had to go back to their cells and then had to spend another half a season in prison. They did the same kind of thing. They started their escape. Alex Mahone, who's the guy from Invasion that they added for season two,
mm-hmm.
he's been in the prison. He got out slightly before the escape, which started to throw them off because the government pulled some strings because he was a former like CIA agent and they moved him into an American, or he's on his way to an American. He's not there yet. They're going to get him expedited out of the country. So that kind of messed him up. Then Michael, the main character, and the guy he's supposed to get out are like climbing down the rope ladder off the wall, and a cloud goes across the sun, and that ruins their whole plan because the only reason the one guard is not watching them is because of a glare. And so they have to go back inside the prison, and then and you think that's really dumb. What a cop out, you know, whatever. But that's like halfway through the 2 hours. Well, because they tried to go out, the guards notice the ladder. They go into the prison. They kill the henchman of the like powerful guy that runs the prison, because the prison doesn't have any guards. It's run by like one guy and his henchmen.
Yeah.
It's run by inmates. The guards are just outside. And they remove his power base, basically. And they say in front of all the prisoners, "We don't think you're doing this right. We've been giving you the benefit of the doubt, but if somebody else can do it better, we're all for it." And so now there's a whole shakeup where anybody could try to kill this leader and take over the prison. And so he goes to Michael at the end of the episode. He's like, "I know it was you who was trying to break out." He's like, "You're taking me with you." And so even though and then there was a further sting where we think that this woman's been who kidnapped Sarah, the girl, and then Michael's nephew, and they end up putting Sarah's head in a box, so she's definitely dead and not coming back, which disappointed me. But she's told them that she's working for the company and that they have to get this guy out. We discovered she's actually working for the guy who's in prison, and we don't know why he has hired them to kidnap. Mm-hmm. We thought he was this good guy. And now he was being taken advantage of by the company too, but now we know he was behind the kidnappings and has been trying to force Michael to break him out.
Man.
So they did a lot of mix-up and they deepened it, and I really – so far the season's only covered 7 days, and after this was the day they had the breakout, but they've given him a 4-day extension. So I'm really hoping – I really think the next 6 episodes before they go on break for the strike, I think they'll break out at the end. I really think they'll break out before they go on strike.
Break out. I got nothing.
So, it's just gotten really, and I was reading an interview a couple weeks ago with the creator of Prison Break, and he's like, "This show was intended to be a miniseries. That November finale where they got blocked was because we got picked up for a full season and we didn't know what to do. So we just kind of said, okay, you can't escape, and then had to go back to the drawing board. And then we're like, at the end of season one, well, they have to escape. They've been in prison too long.
And he's...
Okay, what do we do now? That was the end of the season. The series was getting out of prison. Right, and so then they had to do a whole season on the run. They're like, well, it's called Prison Break. Let's bring prison back into it. So they did this whole other prison that's a totally different thing. And now they're like, now what do we do? Because we can't leave him in there for even a whole season because it would kind of ruin the pacing. So he said it's such a hard show to make because they continuously have to reinvent themselves because the show was never intended to go on as more than a 13-episode miniseries. So it's really good, and the further they go, the deeper the mystery goes, and they really make you think that there was a plan the whole time.
It makes me think, though, that the way you just said everything, that they should really, like Lost, put an end date in the future.
No, because they don't have anything to build to. Lost has been accused of making it up as they go along, but they're really not because they had an end game, and that's why they put an end date on it to prove that they weren't just making it up as they go.
I understand that, but I'm just saying the way you explained it to me.
Well, the difference is Lost has an end game. Prison Break does not. Prison Break is making it up as they go along, and the more they get into the story, the more deeper intrigue they add to it. And so they keep writing themselves into a corner on purpose because then they have to be super creative to getting out of it.
Yeah, but I think, okay, like a part of me just doesn't like
that. And when they run out of ideas...
That makes me not want to watch the show because...
Why?
I'm
when they run out of ideas, they'll stop. They'll stop.
No, they won't. It's
he's only
Fox.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
The creator of the show will stop when they run out of ideas.
You swear by it, Jimmy. Because...
Yes.
It looks like to me like they actually already ran out of ideas. They went back to the drawing board, as you so eloquently put.
They've gone back to the drawing board a bunch of times, but each time it's only made the show better and richer. That show has improved with time.
See, that just makes
me and the first season was good. I have the first season on DVD, and you should totally watch it because it was good. But the further it goes on, the more interesting it gets. And it's not – they never retread themselves. They're very careful about always having to put something new and fresh in what's going on. So they aren't going to keep they're not going to repeat themselves.
Yes, they already escaped from prison, and they don't need to go back to prison again. But wait, they're not going to retread themselves. They went back to prison again.
What you don't understand because you haven't watched the show is this time is completely different than the first
time.
How
is it different?
Not just
is it prison, yes or no?
Yes.
Are they trying to escape? Are they trying to do a prison break? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then what is... Okay, Jimmy... Therein lies... Okay, so see, that's why I'm saying. Yes, it's totally different. Totally different. I believe you. I'm sorry. It's totally different.
You know what, Nick? Is oxygen and carbon dioxide both gases? Yes. Are they totally different? Well, they must not because they're gases. Yes, they're totally different. You're making assumptions based on false logic.
That's not false logic. Like, honestly.
You are trying to make it seem like your points make sense, but they don't.
Okay, in this situation.
You're taking broad generalizations.
In this situation, if a show is called, like, seriously, that sounds literally like what happened. It's like the 4400. It was only supposed to be a miniseries. And then the studio said, we want to pick it up for a full-time show. And the writers were like, oh, God, okay. That's like the same exact thing.
It's not the same exact thing. Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. Just because it has aliens in it, I'm talking about writing-wise, it's the same exact principle. They were never meant to go on beyond a certain point. And yes, sure, they have to get more creative to do things, but...
But the difference is whether they do it well or not, and I can't speak to the 4400 because I never watched it, but Prison Break, you say, and from the outside of person who's never watched the show, yeah, they're trying to escape from prison again, but this prison isn't in America with nice, neat order and guards. This is a gang run on the fringe, plus he's on another time limit. He's got people on the outside helping him, which he didn't have before. It's a different makeup of people where before he found friends and had a plan. Now he's forced to go on his wits, and he doesn't have any allies, and he's just totally all screwed up, and he never knows what's going to happen, and it's a different thing, and the end game is going to be bringing down this company. But the first time, he knew nothing about a company. He only knew that his brother was framed, and he came up with an elaborate plan to get out, which they had to follow. Now his plan's thrown out the window, and now he has to do everything as it comes along, and it's much tougher. It's a totally different
thing. Totally
different
thing. He's not escaping from jail.
They're not repeating any of the stuff from the first season at all.
Yes, totally not. You're right. I'm
Fuck
I'm
you!
Sorry.
Fuck
what?
You!
I said you're right! I said, I'm saying you're right!
No, you're, but you said it in a condescending way. He's a scapegoat.
No, I'm saying you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. What can I say? You have beat me in the logic game again, Jimmy. You win, you always do. Jimmy? Jimmy. Alright, I guess our show's over now. Thanks everybody for listening to Good, the Bad, and the Geeky while Jimmy tries to unmute himself. And I hope you guys have a good rest of the day. Until next week, Nitro and Jimmy signing off.
Go away! We're having a good time until you start up, Jeepers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!